Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. What's a Substack? I've been hearing about Substacks lately.
I actually have no idea. No. Sorry.
Maybe our guests will know. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF. It's our good friend, filmmaker and actor, Ford Austin. What up, Ford?
I'm hanging out here trying to figure out what a Substack is before you ask the question.
I don't even know. I don't even know if I got the name right. I just think it's a new thing that people are doing, that like a new social media thing. But that's as far as I can even pretend to.
Maybe it's something. It sounds like it's something that's kind of like a Reddit style thing.
Like some kind of thing that like is a conglomerate of like everything that you follow or something.
You can start a publication that combines a personal website, a blog, an email, newsletter, or podcast. Was it like,
curating right now?
Maybe you're curating the things that you are into, hoping that people will follow what you like. I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe one of our producers will set us up with a Substack. It sounds like a great sandwich. Substack,
or like a small stack at IHOP. Like, oh, you want the Substack, darling?
You want the tiny?
It'd be British. I'm in Oklahoma. Yeah, I want the Substack. I want like the Substack. I'm gonna go to IHOP later tonight, and I'm gonna ask for the Substack. I'm gonna see what they say.
I'm gonna go to Subway and do the same thing, and we'll compare notes,
dude. That Substack at Subway, you couldn't finish it. It would just be too much sub.
Yeah, but those sandwiches are a little tiny. They don't make good sandwiches at Subway.
Do you know how good it is to see you guys after all these years? I think the last time I was on the show was like 2000.
It was
like,
I think a couple years ago.
Shut down. It was probably during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it was probably pre-stage. Willie didn't have a stage squatch in his background, did he?
No, it was definitely pre-stage. Yeah.
I know some sci-fi things. I do have, like, there's something I've been rolling around in my head that I kind of wanted to talk about. And it's a time travel related thing. And it's not like movies, time travel. It was just like, I had a thought. I was like sitting there having my own Substack in the kitchen. And I was like conceiving time. I was like thinking like, what is time? Like, what is time? Like, what is time to you? Like when somebody says, hey, tell me what time is, to kind of say, well, you know, I got my watch and it's like, it passes. It's like you get people figure out where to meet each other because they have time. It's like a man-made convention, all that crap. Yeah. Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking we're all over explaining what it is. We're all trying to grasp for something very, very concrete. I think it just is. Like it just is. And it isn't. It just is. Like time is. We can't change it. We can't do anything to it. Or maybe we can.
Well, yeah. But that's the whole thing. I was thinking about this today, actually, because I feel like I'm the only person in the world who doesn't understand the whole time is a circle thing. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. I can't understand that.
How could it be a circle? I mean, what, you're born and you die in that aspect?
No, just like, you know, with time travel, I don't know. Like, I'm the worst person to explain it because I don't even understand it.
I've always thought time is a man-made concept. And I think it's just a way for us to synchronize our lives that are so different. And I think by defining time, it made us disconnect to what it is, which it is just, yeah, it is what it is. And so when people say, oh, time is a flat circle, whatever, I think what they're trying to say is that, like, we perceive things linearly.
Laura went linearly through the litmus life
because of the liniment.
But I don't believe in straight lines. There's always, it's always on something.
If we were dead, so if it's a man-made convention, it would technically not exist if we all died, but it would exist. I'm telling you, it just is. And we're all trying to label it and say it's something and conceive what it is. And through movies, we try and figure out how to change it and drive through time in a car, whatever it is. It's just like, I've got this clock in my kitchen. I took the clock off the wall And I found this clock on Amazon that says now. That's it. It says now. There's like no numbers. It just says now. So I
does
always
the now
look up
spin?
At it, and it should. It should. It doesn't. It's just there. You like look up at it, and it's got this Buddha going on a thing, like a you know, ticking, and it says now.
That's pretty rad.
It's just a reminder not to give a shit, because I think what time does is we're always trying to do something with time. We're trying to prepare for something. We're trying to get over something. And it just stands in the way of us actually just stopping and doing what we're doing now. But it took a lot of like freaking time to figure out how to get to this podcast, right? It took a lot of time. Like you had to send me Zoom links and talk about Central Time versus Pacific Time. And I sat here thinking, well, you know, I'm in Oklahoma City. They're in LA. It's like 7 p.m. for you guys and it's 9 p.m. here. Is this topic even worth continuing the conversation?
The only reason we keep trying to define time is because mortality, you know? Like we see ourselves getting older and going like, oh, why am I decaying? I guess it's because of time.
Your body decides it doesn't need things and starts decaying. Let me ask you a question. Since we are getting older and we are decaying, what happened to all like the stuff that we used to do? Because there's obviously people doing it. Like there's obviously people going out and partying. There are clubs that still exist, right? There's like raves and clubs, but you never hear about them, do you?
You don't still party, dog?
I still hear about some. I still try.
I don't hear about any. I'm not on that list anymore. Yeah,
well, you're not in LA.
On that list, but.
I know. I have to put myself on a few lists. Just email lists of like, okay, anything at this club is cool.
I'm just kind of done with it. I don't know. It's not even really about getting older, I don't think. Well, maybe it is. I'm just like lazy. I don't want to leave my house.
Yeah.
That's why we,
I mean,
that's
you
why we do this
insane traffic
internet.
Out there. You know how long it takes me to get to the airport here? It's like 15 minutes. That's with traffic.
We didn't even have that
like
in Colorado.
40 miles. I have like 40 miles from the airport.
Wow.
All right. Enough. Let's move on.
Thank you.
Time
you don't want me to
is
tell
wasting.
More boring stories.
Time is wasting. Well, we do something here on the show called the WOW Scale. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Are you ready to be Wade on the WOW Scale?
Yes, I'm ready this time.
I think you're going to really enjoy it. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ghosts?
Yes.
Bigfoot?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Illuminati?
I think that's just become an overall term for people that have all the shit, that control everything, and they call the shots.
Yeah, but
isn't that just
weird?
Like the like the Bilderberg people? Yeah, sure.
Right.
I think they control. They're like the Rothschilds family and all the people up at that echelon. You know, we sit there and complain about the Bilderberg people that are going out there on their jets. It's above that. It's above that.
All right. Last question. The multiverse.
I don't believe in that.
What do you think of the Mandela effect?
I don't believe in that. Well, I think the Mandela effect has been proven by a lot of conspiracy. Well, just theorists, not conspiracy theorists, but theorists on the internet. They're all over the Mandela effect. And so I've seen things that I thought were like Looney Tunes. I thought was T-O-N-E-S or T-U-N-E-S.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the opposite.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just shit you never really thought about, right? And then someone's like,
well,
did you know they saw it like
just,
this?
Yeah. And it could have just been stuff that we weren't paying close attention to. But we also could have seen like conceptual artwork along the way that they changed. So what? So they changed a logo for something. So what? People do it all the time.
You're a 4. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Right now on Real Life Sci-Fi, is time speeding up? Sure, our perception of time can make it seem that way, especially with today's relentless pace, but why have some older and other civilizations foresaw and even predicted that time would speed up? Join us as we uncover psychological and scientific insights behind this intriguing phenomenon tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. So time is a hard thing to define and experience and whatnot, but there are basically prophecies saying that time would speed up near the end time. Time would speed up.
Does that mean we're near the end time right now? Is time speeding up?
There is actual proof that time is actually speeding up right now. This is a little small proof, but like they recently had to take a second off of the world time clock, which has never happened
before. Speeding up very fast.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, the things that we're going to talk about tonight are bigger than that. But that's just something that actually
What do you
happened.
Think that's just... What is the world time clock? Is it an actual clock? And could they have just not done a very precise build? And so, the leap year, we need to correct it.
I think it's extremely precise. And the fact that they had to make a change to it is pretty cool.
Why do they think that Jeff Bezos is building his own clock inside a mountain? Is this going to be a better clock?
Is he?
Yeah. Google it right there. Jeff Bezos is building a $90 million radioactive clock inside of a mountain that will last millions of years after us.
The clock of the long now, also called the 10,000 year clock, is a mechanical clock that's under construction.
I said millions.
Yeah, you blew it.
He's spending a ton of money. So why do we need another clock when we have this really fantastic clock that's gotten us till now?
Why do we need any of these clocks? I didn't realize that we were talking about time. Not in the right headspace. Let me think about this stuff.
So like the Hopi elders, for a long time, people would say things like, well, they don't have a concept of time. They don't know shit.
Right, because they didn't have watches or...
Right, they didn't keep track of time, but...
Does it say there how they kept time? Did they like...
No, but in...
Rome had the sundial, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine they just looked. It's like the sun's going down. It must be time for to happen.
What calendars did they have? I don't know. But as far as their language is concerned, like in English, we talk about the past and the non-past. The Hopi talked about the future and the non-future within their language. In the 2000s, these Hopi elders shared one of their prophecies, which was just about fast flowing rivers and how these rivers of time would speed up and that many of us would fear the acceleration. And we'd try to cling onto the banks of the rivers and resist the inevitable transformation. But their advice was to leave the shore, surrender to the flow, and embark on this journey together. And they say it's going to be the end of the age of the lone wolf, meaning that maybe for a while we're just kind of on our own, but we need to unite and nothing should be taken personally and connect with our deepest essences. I don't know. This is all shorthand, but the idea that they talked about the river speeding up and of our experience.
Do you think that's just as you get older, everything goes faster, like days, years, they just fly by?
Well, I've heard
the toilet paper roll metaphor.
I've heard some good reasoning as to why time actually does speed up from our perception, as a young one, everything you learn is just packed in. You're learning so many things. And then years of being old, you're not learning stuff. And so the whole year, what's the one benchmark you have from this year? You know what I mean? It's just like you have less to compare it to and you have more past time of your life to compare it to. So this
Right.
So I get that.
I understand that, but you don't think that's what the Hopi were talking about?
I don't. And I think because... when you picture, let's say, the spiral of the galaxy, let's say, picture the wobble of the Earth. It's like if you drop a quarter, it speeds up as it before it lands, atop. If it's wobbling, it'll speed up before it drops. And
well, let me stop you right there, though, because I mean, that's a good metaphor, but we are not getting closer to the sun. That's what would do it, right? Our perception of time, or see, now I'm already fucked up because are we talking about?
I think it's a perception of time. I think it's as we get older. I don't know. As the oldest one on this chat here, I'm going to say I can really deal with a lot less as the days go by. And it just seems like you kind of want things to wrap up. You're kind of hoping things will wrap up after a period of time. So I think it's perception where you're just like, look, let's bring this thing. Let's get rid of this. Let's keep going and just get this thing over with.
But I think that's just because you get older and you're like, I don't need to be in this meeting. This is a waste.
And you're just like, what am I going to do today? You have days and you have a lot of things that you want to do. And as you check those things off the list, you're kind of like, well, what am I going to do now? You're trying to fill the days. And if you're, they just kind of run. It's kind of like when we were going through the shutdown. It was just like day after day after day. And you just kind of lost track of things. You're like, was that already a week? Gosh, yeah, that's done. So I think it's based on perception, and the elders of the Hopi tribe perceiving that it was like getting faster as they were getting older.
Well, but Willie doesn't.
Let me just make an observation about the Hopi without knowing anything. I would say that their classic Hopi life before
killing buffalo. No, friends with buffalo. Sorry, I don't know anything about any of the First Nations.
I know,
right?
I've got a lot cycle, about it out here.
The cycle of their year, you know, I think even as you grow older, I think a lot of their early years are probably closer to a lot of their older years. I don't know. That's a lame
observation. You sleep more. You sleep more, right?
But I don't think that their lives as they got older, their perception of time may not slow down because cyclical things. Well, okay.
Yeah, go back to your statement originally that it does speed up.
I believe that there's errors in Einsteinian space-time, but speaking of space-time, how they're so interrelated, the closer you are to bigger masses, the slower time goes for you, right?
Yeah, but see, here's where I'm stupid, right? I'm stupid in a lot of areas, but definitely this one. Like, I don't understand. Have they done this or is a movie thing where they synchronize some watches and then someone goes to space and then they come back? That's a movie thing?
Yeah, I think it was Interstellar, but I'm sure
it was definitely Interstellar, but I thought that was an actual thing.
I think they've done it with astronauts' watches. There were
because the Earth rotates at a different speed when you're not on it. I mean, they actually rotates the same, but when you're not on it, you're being affected by time differently because you're in space. You're not on the orbital globe.
But why? Yeah. Why would the watch change is what I mean.
Yeah. Like, why would time change if time exists everywhere?
Yeah.
Well,
trippiest thing to me.
And it's so funny, you know, I've got the weed hat on and I can't remember even what I'm talking about, but
you're
I'm pretty
so
sure they had these.
Right now.
These
you need a twins. New way to save your notes, because I swear every episode you're like, I can't find the screen grabs.
Set up a folder, man. Half of my research I have to do like in the car. So I have my notebook, I take screen grabs, and then I also have websites that I email to myself.
Let's say you're like really doing something boring, like you're trying to cook, you're boiling water, and you're waiting for the water to start boiling. It feels like nauseatingly slow for the water to start boiling. And if you're watching it, it takes even longer. There's your perception. And if you're engaged in something that you really are enjoying, like a show, or you're just like passing the time somehow, like a good movie, or you're reading a really good book.
Or
it
dance.
Seems like it goes, yeah, or you're dancing. It seems like it goes way too fast. Like it's over before you even like got to enjoy it.
Yeah. That's why binging is a thing, right? I feel like
it's the phrase killing time. Why would you want to kill time? Like, what's the purpose of killing time?
Because we're bored.
Right. So
I know. What are you trying to get to sleep faster?
I came up with a great quote today, I think. Today or yesterday. Here's my quote. This is an original quote. If anyone takes this and puts it on a pillow or something, it better say Wade Randolph after it. This is like, I was imagining if I had a child and he was saying that he was bored. I don't know why he has to be a he. He could be anything he wants.
Needs to decide it for himself.
I'm very progressive. Let me see if I can remember the quote. Okay. And it doesn't make sense. It refutes itself. I'm realizing that it refutes itself as I say it. Only smart people get bored, but only dumb people stay bored. And I think it's still a good quote, even though it is like a paradox. I still think you should write it down.
I
wrote it down digitally by telling you guys. I don't have to now. It's out there. It's in the ether.
All right.
The universe now accepts my quote.
People actually listen to this after you record it.
I do. I have to edit it.
I've never heard one episode.
Well, you were living them.
It'll be on textbooks and shit in like Outlander times in 20 years.
I'm glad you brought up Outlander times. I have something that a friend of mine told me the other day that's kind of like time. So there was this big library, like a 34-story or 28-story library in Massachusetts that they built. And the architects screwed up the conception of the weight. So so that when they started to insert books on the shelves of the library, the entire building began sinking. The fascia bricks on the outside started falling off and injuring people. So they had to start removing a lot of the books in order to lighten up the weight of the library. I mean, it was a really massive blunder. And the concept of arbitrarily taking pieces of work out of the scenario, what do you feel about that? What do you feel if there's a building where they've taken all of the literary works that are known to man and they put it in the building and it's so heavy? Well, we've got to get rid of like 20% of these books. All right. How do you decide? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe someone just starts grabbing the books and starts taking them and putting them somewhere else. And now you don't even really have a catalog of where those books are, or you may never find them again.
I was going to compare it to me having to delete a bunch of emails because my storage space is getting, you know, it's not free anymore. I have to pay for it unless I delete a bunch of shit.
So how many times through history, through time, of the literary
Their
emails. Gutenberg Bible, from the origin of the Gutenberg Bible, they like got everything down in that Bible. Then they started like writing all these things. How many times have they had to delete things and get rid of them so that we don't even know what certain things throughout history have been?
I think you could get rid of a lot of the trashy romance novels. That's first to go for me, I think.
Great. So as we move forward in the world of ChatGPT and AI, AI is constantly, for the next 2 years, literally consuming the internet and all of its content, and then reemerging as whatever the internet's going to be with all the information and all of the books and knowledge that's there. That will be what's left. So a lot of that stuff that's not even included, all those deleted emails, they're gone forever because now something else is running it.
This is the age-old thing, though. The history is written by the winners. You can throw out old textbooks once science has learned new things.
We got to get AI to interview some losers.
Yeah, and like what we've done is we've integrated things in our lives. And the thing is, it's not going to take very long for things just to get lost. You know, like AI is completely plagiaristic and it's just copying things and redoing new things out of the old stuff it's already eaten. And I don't want this to be about AI or anything, but as we move forward, it's in time. It's like time is going to alter because we will only have a portion.
But you're talking about maybe the thesis of this podcast, because Willie believes that the ancient civilizations were more advanced than we are now.
Talking about Tartaria?
I don't know.
Yeah, Tartaria is... We got to do that. We haven't done that topic yet, but I do think that that civilization was erased.
Yes. All those beautiful buildings that they built for the Chicago World's Fair, and they were just like all of a sudden gone.
It's fucking crazy. Like, and there's so much
way
electricity.
Cooler than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had these towers that would generate electricity to the whole city.
Like Tesla coils.
Yeah. Except they were just these spikes on top of churches and buildings, and they would send electricity out. I also believe that all of these old civilizations actually had glass windows, and all of the ruins of their building societies, there's not going to have windows because they were just gone. Like, what are the chances that ancient Romans just kind of had these big open areas, like in that terribly hot area? No, just go walk through that arcade over by the aqueducts.
Well, that's why they wore togas.
Yeah, that's why they wore togas. But
dude, they just found some either like 4,000 old sewer system in China that's made out of clay, and it's still intact. Shit won't last 100 years here.
But this is, I don't know the actual like. I can't even think of it. The whole time is a flat circle.
You do know. You sense it.
I can't. A psychic once told me this is my first time on Earth. So a lot of my faults I blame on that. I didn't believe her, but I can always lean into that. Well, I'm new here. I don't know. You guys have done it before, but whole. We kind of backed into the time as a flat circle thing where it's like, yeah, we're just recreating things that have already been recreated, and we're headed down the whole, like, let's fucking burn it down, man, because fossil fuels and blah, 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 you know?
Fossil fuels, I agree with you. What about all the other crap? Like, what about the fact that they banned grocery bags in all those stores in California and everywhere? Like, we can't use plastic bags, but every single thing I buy comes in a plastic container with a bunch of plastic wrap over it. Like, I get...
And that plastic is not recyclable.
Yeah, and I get the grapes. And, like, my office in Santa Monica...
You don't buy the grapes in the clamshell, do you?
I buy the grapes in the clamshell.
You don't have to. You could grab them. You could put them in a bag, a plastic bag. Wait. Remember when you had to write down, you had to get the grapes and then look at the code and write down the code so that the cashier would know what you were buying?
We do that for the nuts. We do that for the cashews. Those are like the bins. They do that in the bins. Here it's like the grapes come in the clamshell. I can go and get them out of the kitchen right now. The strawberries are in the clamshell. But the thing, like all of the food, everything. Well, wouldn't it be nice if there was a grocery store where you could actually go and do that? And they were like, sorry, everybody, all of the grapes were picked. Come back next month when we've grown some more.
Is this a food store?
Have a store that just grows their own food right there in the aisle. Like they just
a true farmer's market.
You know how like they sell these things that you can grow your little herbs and vegetables?
Dude, I have a basil plant that I'm sorry. This is
you don't have to buy basil ever again. Yeah.
Dude, can I get it? It's huge. Can I just get it real quick?
Yeah.
I can't stop it, and I don't know what to do about it. It's taking over.
Well, you cut it and give it to friends.
You don't like basil that much.
Well, you got a lot of pizzas, margarita pizzas you got to put it on.
Right? I'm like, I love pepperoni pizza with basil on it, but not every pizza.
All my Swanson dinners with the Salisbury steak with the plastic covering, I'm going to put basil on it.
Okay, this thing is
that's a remarkable basil plant.
My gosh.
It's like Danny DeVito size. And it started as like, you know, here. I'm surprised that it can stand on its own because it leans against the window. I don't know what to do with it.
That's an excellent visual representation of time there. So how long did it take you to grow that?
Like, I don't know, a couple months.
And if you think you're bored, think about how that plant feels.
That's what I was going to say earlier. Like plants don't have to deal with the same time relativity that we do, but they also have friends, right? Don't they all talk through osmosis or root
mycelium? Plants can identify us, you know?
I mean, I sure hope so because I've been super nice to these guys.
I would keep that as a guest on your show. I would keep it on camera somewhere.
I kind of want to just give it. There's a gardener guy who comes around. I kind of just want to give it to him and be like, dude,
he's going to do way better raising that plant than you will. It kind of has this different thing up at the top. Like, what is that? Those are flowers?
I know. Those are flowers that will become the basil. So if you guys need basil, let me know. I mean,
I'll give you my address and put it in an envelope and ship it out.
Just have a bring your own pizza party.
But so here's the thing. Like, when I bought it, it was like
put it on Facebook Marketplace.
World record breaking basil plant.
Right? How much bigger is the world?
It's like hyperbole. You've got to leave it at hyperbole. You can't say world record because someone's going to go, oh yeah, let's measure it. You got to say this is the most incredible basil plant, something they can't ever measure.
There's also all these dead ones in here. These were also all basil.
Genus.
Well, I did.
Guinness and then they World Book Record.
Genus.
Yeah, the Guinness.
Let's make up a new one. Let me just say this real quick. As far as the time dilation is concerned, like the closer you are to mass, time slows down more.
Yes.
But if you picture everything is expanding in the universe, that's our current belief. And so if everything is expanding, we are slowly but surely getting farther and farther away from mass. So what happens when we're so far away that the only real mass around us is our solar system? Like, you know, I'm like, I don't know how close we are to time speeding up, maybe, you know, but we observe that everything is expanding away from us in all directions, which is like supports the idea that if there is space-time, we should maybe come close to perceiving that.
I was taught that too. I was taught that if you watched someone go towards a black hole, you would see them moving towards the black hole until, and they would slow down as they moved closer until finally, if they got to the edge of the black hole, they would sit on the black hole and you would never actually see them go through the black hole because time slowed down from your vantage point to a standstill and it stopped. And so you would never actually see them complete, even though the gravitational pull is so dense at and from the distance between their feet and their head, it's so different at the point of a black hole that they would turn into spaghetti and their feet would go down inside of it and stretch just eternally.
Yeah.
And their arms would be too, like,
it's
so
crazy. It was a cool thing to try to picture, but
it's how they got us interested.
Would you be frozen or would it hurt? Or would you?
Well, you'd probably be dead.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in those models, though, either, because we haven't seen anything go through a black hole. We can only perceive the evidence of it. And so what some people are saying now is that, well, not some, there's a few people saying that, like, we might be in a black hole because everything is expanding away from us the same way that a black hole would be growing. If our existence was inside of a black hole, according to our definitions, we wouldn't be able to perceive anything outside of the black hole. And we are ever expanding. And I don't know. I don't know.
I love that theory. I love that theory that, like, our whole existence is at the edge of a black hole. And that would make sense of why it's continuously expanding, because that's what they say happens, is that from the center or from the edge of your body or the edge of an object that goes into the black hole to the other end of it, like from my hands here up to my shoulder and up to the top of my head, it's like so different gravitationally pull that you would be stretched out. So that would be a really good reason why we were constantly expanding, because we're at one part of the black hole and the other side of the universe is at the other edge. And who cares? I'm sure a lot of people do care, but
this is the thing. This is the hardest thing for me, because I can't get it. My brain, it's like when people start talking about business or like stocks, my brain just doesn't, I can't do it. I'm currently talking to ChatGPT, trying to get it to tell me why astronauts' watches are different than on Earth. And I just don't get it. You guys are talking about black holes and fucking, and at the end of the day, I guess, who cares? You know, like like the Hopi, like the only reason I use a calendar is to make sure I don't forget someone's birthday. Yeah. And I still do that.
Well, now you can use Facebook for that. You just have to go there and take 30 minutes.
I'm
giving everybody a little Facebook.
Been done with Facebook for a long time, man.
But I think that time is relative. And that's a stupid statement too. It's like statements about
it. It's the most genius and stupid statement, because Einstein said it, but I don't get it.
It's time is relative to you. For you, you have like this intense focus on time because you're the one running that clock over there. I'm like, I don't know when this show ends. I guess I'm going to stay up till midnight maybe. So I have like no concept of time. I'm just here. Right.
But you're
really focused on time.
There's an idea that I've been playing with, and I try to do this every day. They say that we can actually change, and I don't think it's just a perception thing. Maybe it is, but that we can control the time around us. So if I'm in a hurry, I try to focus on slowing down time. I try playing with time all the time, where it's like, okay, I got 10 minutes. Like, let's slow this time down so I can get all this stuff done. And I really think it's working.
Well, sure. But that's
a different way. So you really start just like focusing on the time and you become more mindful about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to get ready to go to the airport or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like let's say I have a couple minutes. It's like, okay, let's stretch out these 2 minutes and get everything done. And then like, for some reason, I'm like, holy shit, time is actually moving slower. And I got so much more done than I, and it might be a perception thing, because I'm like focusing on it. I don't think time is what we think it is. And I think that we can interact with the world a little differently.
You're making me think, like, when we shoot a movie, we get to the set at like 5 a.m. You know, we're all just trying to like get our breakfast burrito and our coffee from the truck, and then we get in the costume and get our first meeting going with everybody so that we can get everybody corralled. The entire crew will move like we're making Gone with the Wind. And then as we get towards the end of the day, when we're like really running out of time, everybody goes faster and they're like, it's like they're shooting an episode of Dukes of Hazzard. So it's like, everybody's just scrambling. But it's like that beginning of the day, trying to get that first shot off. It's just that you really feel the clock ticking. It's the most uncomfortable thing. And usually never get it off till 10 or 11.
I hate it. I hate the beginning of the day. I don't understand why everybody needs a breakfast burrito. Just show up and let's go.
And start working.
What do you do?
So Francis Ford Coppola has this thing where he knows exactly what he's going to do first thing of the day. And he says, you know, when you go, you got to get going and just tell everybody this is what it is. Okay, everybody, this is what we're going to do. And as long as you get that first shot going, you know, just get to the second one. But it's like, you got to get that first shot because everybody is dragging ass. They want to do that habit with that breakfast burrito and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Just like, let's get through. Everybody, you have an hour, period. And like, we know what we're going to do first.
I'm unemployed and I have multiple different projects that I'm doing. And half of my day is spent just being in my head going like, oh, I got to dive back into this. And like, what am I doing now? Like if I'm writing a script, it's like, oh, where was I? Oh, I guess I'm there. And I think about it for a while. So now when I go to bed, I just think about tomorrow and I say, I'm going to get up. I'm going to work on the cut a little bit. I'm going to have lunch. And I'm going to work on my script. And like, it doesn't matter that I'm super lazy and I barely do any work, but just touching it a little bit and like knowing that I'm going to work on it.
Yeah.
It's better than me just like looking at Reddit and procrastinating.
You're doing something every day. You're pushing the elephant up the stairs a little bit every day. And the reality is, you know, we can't just like kill ourselves. We're living lives. We're living through time. We're living our lives. How much of this are we going to like continuously do and sell our souls out just to make something happen? At some time, there's got to be like, you know what? I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go and I'm going to take a walk. And then I'm going to look out this window and do nothing. And I'm going to think about my script. Maybe I'll get to it now. Maybe I'll take some notes, but I'm just going to sit here and look out this window, watch people go by or watch whatever happens and not be concerned about achieving something or getting something done because we're living people. We were born into whatever the hell this is. Someday we're going to die out of it. And in between whatever we're doing, like we should just be able to do whatever we want and not feel bad because we didn't finish a script that day.
This is exactly what I've been struggling with. I've been saying to myself, like, life is still pretty fun if you allow it to be, like, regardless of how depressed and broke you are. Because that's the whole thing, man. Like, if you ever play video games for an entire day, the only reason you beat yourself up about doing that is because other people have told you that's a waste of your day, right? But, like, but that's fun as shit.
You choose. Yeah, you got a whole life.
Some people can be inspired by playing games, you know? And I feel like I'm in that realm of, like, if I play a game, it's so creative for me to experience.
Yeah, but you're kind of, and listen, me too and everything, but like you're kind of you're justifying just having fun by going like, oh, maybe this will inspire me or whatever. And that's cool if it does, but like you shouldn't feel bad about playing video.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Definitely. We definitely beat ourselves up. And like, I would say that, you know, here I am advocating for meditation that if you can quiet your mind in a day, I think it's just so powerful for the rest of your day. You know, we don't have to take the practice of quieting our mind.
Well, and I think meditation is probably just like a more extreme example of you being hyper-focused and going like, I'm going to get out of the house in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And my experience is not like yours. I've tried that, man. I've looked at the clock and been like, it's not going to turn 8:20 until I get all this done. And I'm like really, really trying. And it still doesn't work.
Well, it's weird too, because I definitely, as an ex-smoker that was very anxious, you know, like talking about getting to set, I'm like, hey, let me know if we're going to have breakfast, because I don't fucking care if you feed me. I know I need to eat. So I'll eat early. I don't want to show up early so I can have a cigarette. Leave me alone. Let you know, like fucking run through my, my day.
Some time to prepare. Yeah. You know what I want to say about your video games? If you played video games all day long, you just, that's something, that guilt is something that's like part of our generation from when we grew up in the 80s and 70s. You may not have grown up in the 70s like me, but 80s, 90s, whatever it is.
I caught 2 years
of it. There are people today who go to college and their major is video games. Their major is video games. If there's no longer a reason to feel guilty about it. No, there's not. If you're playing a video game all day, you're doing it for a reason. You want to escape from the opportunity to write. And what you're doing is you're exploring some other point of view, some other aspect of somebody. Video games make more money than movies. Why wouldn't you be exploring that?
Because I'm too old. I feel like being Gen X is hard because
we're too old.
No, I'm too old to go to school and learn how to like make video games. And like those motherfuckers aren't hearing pitches. I'm not telling you to go to school.
You could produce. They're made just like movies. They're storyboarded.
Where do the ideas come from, though? Can I go just pitch like an idea to a video game place?
Yeah, you could start with small, simple games like app games. You could come up with something that's like, I don't know, like whatever the hell, like Tetris-y type of games. You could say, oh, this guy's over here. You move the character from left to right, and he's like doing something. He's like catching footballs, and it's like a Tom Brady game, and you're going to do a lot of in-house, like in-game advertising and purchases. And all you got to do is just, you got to pitch that. I'm not telling you to go out and do that because you write and make movies, but there are people that go out and do that. It's just a different medium. Here we go into this whole medium of virtual virtual spatial computing. Like that's it, by us making 2D movies that are like put on a 3x5 or a 1080 or a 70 millimeter print. That's already antiquated. If we're not shooting things at 180 degrees, then we're in the past.
I always try to explain to Moose that like, hey, you like video games, you like cartoons, like figure out why you like them. Like you can make this if you, they're just stories, you know, like,
well, he's six. You don't need to push him into it.
Well, I like to let him discover who he is. To figure out why he likes certain games, because there's so many addictive games out there that are made just to like waste your time. And he's definitely on some of those too. It's like,
I remember when Sims first came out in like 2001 or whatever it was, I got it and I sat at my computer and I started playing it at like 5 o'clock. I turned around, it was like 8 in the morning, and I was like, what? And I put the game down and I never played it again. I had my wife cooking dinner. It burnt the house down because I didn't know she had to take cooking lessons. Yeah. I was like all deep into it. And I was just like, I can't do this. This is crazy.
But I do love just allowing yourself to stay up all night on something like that. Why not is the best question I think that the universe has. Why not? Because I don't have shit to wake up for tomorrow, so who cares?
That's kind of a blessing. It's like you're not going to always not have shit to wake up for. It's just that day
or exactly
that week or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I think we should enjoy it because there's going to come a day where someone's like, hey, man, you are in a deadline. You got to finish this. And I need it by Monday.
Totally. I'm telling people to let themselves off the hook, man. Some days you can just fucking dick around. Who cares?
Some days, some weeks.
I mean,
I went a whole year where I didn't work.
That's like child's play, man. I don't remember the last time I worked. Not on something. Yeah, I got day jobs, whatever. But real work? Fuck. I learned last episode to not let the shadow people get me down because they eat your bad feelings. That's what I took away from it. We talked about shadow people last time and it became very therapeutic and it's helped me a lot.
I'm thinking about the shadow people. So are they manifested by our imaginations and our brains?
No, they just eat bad feelings. In my world, this is what helps me. Some people believe in shadow people. In my world, when I have bad feelings, they're gobbling it up and I'm feeding them bad feelings. So I just refuse to feel bad.
I think refusing to feel bad is a great start.
Yeah.
I think that's a phenomenal start. You know, the other day I was sitting here going, everybody and the media and everything that's publicized and put towards my face in the news or whatever I read, it's like, it's okay for it all to be negative. It's all to be incendiary, make me sit up and pay attention and be worried about something. And it's just, it would be nice to have like a long period of time where it was just, nothing was like, shit, you better look out. Man, look out for this. It's coming for you. You know, there's always this. And it's just, I feel like all the darkness and all the negativity and all the people fighting, I'm just like over it. So I don't care. I'm just like, great, fight.
Totally.
Is anything in the world really, really like, am I no. able to actually directly have any say in how anything works in the world? No, I'm not that powerful of a person that I can go, hey, you guys stop that. You know, you got to make this better. No, it's like, I
don't like I'll just murder.
Die someday.
I don't yeah, like genocide. Stop. Knock it off.
Stop fighting. Stop and that's fighting. The thing. Just stop fighting.
And there's the choice of like, oh, I could be super bummed out about this, or I could just totally ignore it and realize that it doesn't really affect my day-to-day life, you know? I don't know. I'm thinking about boomers and Fox News and how they're just addicted to like this terror that it feeds them and like how counterproductive that is just to a psyche. You
the
know,
next
like
scary thing, whatever it is. The, you know,
kids
want to
go like kids want to be their different pronouns. Blah blah blah. What do you fucking care? You're fucking 80 years old. You're not having kids.
That's not how it was when I was at school.
Yeah, I did a play last year that was like so innovative. It was from they came out here from New York City, and it was all about superstitions and fear. And right after everybody's name in the bio in like the book, like the playbill, it had all of our pronouns. And all these people, these like boomer people, they came to see the show. And all they wanted to talk about, this poor writer like worked on this script for like a couple of years, had work in New York, workshopped it there, came out and did it here for the premiere. And all that anybody wanted to talk about was, hey, what are those pronouns? Like, what's that about? Like they didn't know because Oklahoma is like really far behind everything. So they just didn't know. They're like, why are those pronouns listed there? What does that mean? And I had to sit there and that was the conversation. The conversation was not, that was a great show. Let's talk about superstitions. So it was about all this other crap that had nothing to do with what the writer intended.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of that? You write a script, you bother to like sit in your place and work out all this stuff in the script. And then nobody even pays attention or even addresses it.
Seems par for the course for writers, right?
Really? That's awful. It's awful.
Oh, I've given up on like changing the world through literacy or
literary
or even,
work.
Yeah. I just like, you know, fucking whatever. Did 12 Angry Men change any of these boomers' minds? No.
They're just going to take all the books out of the library anyway.
Yeah, because it's sinking. Because they didn't plan ahead. So we need to build a library that's strong enough to hold all the thoughts.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's wrap it up.
Really, talk about Bigfoot at all?
No. We got the whole other episode, but we gotta wrap
Bigfoot's
this one up.
Bigfoot's got the nipples there. Okay.
That's thanks to Erin. She put some very... pronounced nipples.
Buttons.
They're pretty buttons. Harsh, you know, and I do think that maybe time is speeding up. Why? Maybe consciousness is expanding. There's this girl, Dolores Cannon. She says time is actually speeding up or collapsing. That's a crazy thing. Maybe it's collapsing. The one thing she says is for thousands of years, the Schumann resonance or pulse heartbeat of the earth has been 7.83 cycles per second. The military have used this as a very reliable reference. Since 1980, though, this resonance has been slowly rising. Now it's over 12 cycles per second. So the heartbeat of the Earth is basically the equivalent of less than 16 hours per day instead of 24. I'm just like, and you know, picturing us traveling through the cosmos, could there be some sort of experience that we see time speeding up because time space is either expanding or maybe something's coming. Maybe some other civilization saw this. And it's pretty mind blowing to contemplate these things. And I'm just going like, okay, well, the only thing that I can do for myself is to, do some meditation, focus on now and just know that whatever changes are going to happen, that try to be ready for it. I know we didn't get into a lot of that, but I'm like, I do think that we might see a shift in how we experience life. And I think it's,
I have so many questions because I'm so stupid about this. It's like, if time changed, how would we even know? We wouldn't.
Would we just start
decaying? Would it be like a fucking Carpenter movie where it's fast forward and our faces melt or whatever scanners was?
I do think a good parallel is us perceiving so many digital things going on. You know, we have so many things to do that, like, you know, with that parallel, it's just like, well, you know what helps anybody is to just focus on the present and be present with people. You know, it's like, no matter what happens, if you can have, when you're talking to someone or have a relationship, if you can just focus on that, it actually does slow down your perception of time because you're being present. And I think that's whether this is happening or not, being more present is something that everybody can be.
Dude, shut off your power. Shut off your power for a day and see how much fucking shit you get done. It's like insane. When you don't have the internet to look at, like, wow, you can really be productive. Good night. Ford, thank you for being here. Do you want to shout out any socials or any plugs, any projects?
No, I just was spending the last couple of minutes analyzing that Bigfoot there. And I think the nipples and the eyes were a similar material, and that kind of caught me.
I think you're wrong. I think those are legit eyes. They're just, you just can't see them.
The eyes are like, yeah, you can't see them too good. They're like stones, and they look pretty realistic. If you're like, it could scare you if you were.
Okay, so you've got a good sheen. So my social media is Angry Baby Monkey. Anywhere you see the pink unicorn costume I'm wearing, or just go to my IMDb and like click on it a little bit and look up the movies I got coming out because they're pretty fun, and find me on IG and. Send me an email, you know, like shoot me a message. Let's talk. I don't know. Let's talk about time. Let's talk about all this crap. I don't really think that time is speeding up. I think that it is what it is. And I think that we're all like, when you do something and you're busy with that, time goes faster. And when you're just sitting there, time goes slow and slower. And, you know, we've been here about 2 hours, but it's really gone quick. So I think we used the time very well. And it's really nice to be able to talk to everybody and be able to.
I got something real quick as we sign off. If time's going faster, then how come all the world records keep getting broken? Think about that. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Once again, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. We're going to continue the conversation over on our Patreon with our good friend Ford Austin. And you know, Cocaine Werewolf, check it out. It's coming out.
It's coming out this month. Premiering in Pennsylvania at a theater and somewhere else.
Hey, if you're in Pennsylvania. Get to that Cocaine Werewolf premiere.
Cocaine Werewolf. Yeah.
Smoke some weed.
Smoke some weed first. And I do want to make one more comment. You know, when Dabney Coleman passed away a couple weeks ago, I was reading his biography. Yeah, he passed away a couple weeks ago.
And I didn't hear that. I know that. I love him.
And he said, that's why I grew this mustache and this goatee part. Because you know the best is to grow like a whole beard or a goatee and then shave it into the mustache, right?
Yes. Yep.
because you can't just like have that shitty little thing trying to fill in. Anyway, nope. So I grew this in his honor, because in his New York Times bio, it said that his career had kind of fizzled out, and then he decided to grow the mustache as a joke for a job. And everything just kind of locked in from there. And he had this snarky character that he did, and it just kind of became his calling card. And it was everything that he ever did since then. It changed his career.
And speaking of Dabney Coleman and our topic, check out Out of Time. No, it's not called that. What is it? It's called something. Fuck, I was trying to look it up. I was trying to be smooth.
Yeah, yeah. It's this movie where he
believes that he's going to die.
He's going to die. And he needs to die.
A lab mix up.
He's a cop. He needs to die while working.
It's a great movie.
Was that movie in the 80s? It was in the 80s?
Yeah. It was after this renaissance that you're talking about.
It was after 9 to 5? With yes. Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton.
I got to find it now. Damn it. I know that time is in the title. Can we cut all this out so I sound
Really,
I just it wasn't the one with the Matthew Broderick. It was after
No, that's War Games. I think it was after Short Time. It was Short Time. Short 1990, Time. Short Time. It's a great movie.
I also like
Detective Burt Simpson.
You know, he was best friends with Harry Dean Stanton towards the end of their lives. They used to hang out and drink.
The Farscape guys?
Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, MacGyver.
I'm going to have a drink of Good Morning America. No, that's Dean Stockwell.
No, he was the guy from, he was in a lot of.
You like that I got that quick?
Yeah. Oh, the old guy. He's always been old his entire career.
Yeah, he's been old his whole career. He was like Repo Man. He was like 50 years ago, yet he looked like he was like 90.
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
He was like driving around in like car with the radiation in the trunk.
The spy movie with the Atari game. What was that? Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, that's Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger was the best one I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Cloak and Dagger is the best.
Was that another one with Matthew Broderick?
War Games, right?
War Games was he was in War Games, right? Yeah.
But there was a kid, and then there's a movie like called Daryl.
I love Daryl. Was he in Daryl?
I think he was in Daryl, but you know, Wade's got the IMDb right there.
I thought Daryl was
like D.A.R.Y.
I thought that was just like two kids who sucked. I hated that movie. You guys like that? I loved it.
Yeah.
He's a huge Daryl fan. Did you ever go to Daryl Con, Willie?
No, but I would. I could probably still quote the movie.
Oh my God. It came out around the time as Cloak and Dagger. That's why I get the two of those confused.
Yeah, so anyway, no,
he
didn't have
any work that he grew the mustache.
There's nobody in Daryl. Daryl sucks. You guys are wrong.
Who's the McKeon guy? He's in it.
Mark McKeon.
Mike McKeon is in it.
Michael McKeon is in it. All right. Thanks for listening. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. See you next time. Real sci-fi.